Welcome back to our study of Joshua. We are in chapter 23, and we're going to pick up this evening with verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof.
So Joshua is just reminding the people that he's getting close at hand. He's finished his course. He's done what he was ordained to do. And he just reminds the people that God has not failed in anything that he's promised. And I think from time to time we have to be reminded, which is really amazing when you look at this nation and what God had done for them ever since they'd come out of Egypt, and yet they'd not been faithful to God. Even in all these conquests and God showing himself strong in their behalf, they still had not been fully obedient to God. And you're going to see this when we get into this next chapter.
Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God had given you, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them. Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you.
So this is very interesting. You know, Joshua has led them these many years, and to where they've gone in and possessed this land. They've driven out the enemy. They've seen God supernaturally work in their behalf, God keeping his promises to them. But if you remember, even before Moses died, God told Moses that if the Israelites did not obey God, that they would be driven out of the land, right? And so Joshua is just reiterating that here, just as God has kept his promises, and you've seen the power of God work in your behalf, driving out the enemy. If you transgress and you do what they did, you're not doing what God's called you to do, God will drive you out of the land just like he drove them out of the land.
Chapter 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea.
He's on a roll.
I am on a roll.
So Joshua assembled all the elders, the heads. In other words, this is talking about the leaders of the nation of Israel, the tribal leaders and those in positions of authority. And he's rehearsed to them all that God's done. And what she's reading here, I mean, he's giving detail. He goes all the way back to Abraham, and he's showing how God has made his covenant to Abraham. God's kept his covenant to Abraham. And he's going through the detail of all these things that God has done for the nation of Israel. And it's very important to look at what he's doing and who he's doing this to. This is not just to the people of Israel. This is to the leaders. Because the leaders, as the leaders go, the people go. In other words, the leaders will either lead them to God or they lead them away from God. So Joshua is being very cautious to put into these leaders everything that God's done. So the things that she's reading here is Joshua telling the leaders what God has done for them. Okay.
Verse 7, "And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and ye might that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand, and ye went over Jordan, and came under Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor thy bow, with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat."
So here, this is just showing that God was good for his word. He told Moses, first generation, that he was going to give them houses they didn't build, that he was going to eat off of crops they didn't plant. Well, this has actually come to pass through Joshua's leadership. And so he's giving them the detail, so they're without excuse, if you understand. We need to remind ourselves from time to time of what God has done. We look at his word and we find that what God says he will do in his word, but so often we're expecting God to do everything without us doing anything. And the bottom line is, this is a covenant, and the covenant is reciprocal. It's not just one way. God has the part he does, we have the part we do. And so just like God had given them the land of Cana, they had to go in and take possession of that land. And in the process of taking possession, they're driving the enemy out, but not by themselves. God is fighting with them. God is fighting for them. You understand? It's the same thing today. This is just a foreshadow. It's a principle. God is with us. God's for us. God has made us all these promises in the Word of God, and God is good for his Word. Do you understand that all these things have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has redeemed mankind? So all these promises are in him. Paul said it this way, in him are yes and amen, or so be it. They're there. Our role, number one, is to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, to recognize Jesus not just as the Redeemer of humanity, but to recognize what Jesus has done for humanity. That means that I'm included if I'm a human being, right? What he has done for me personally. You have to personalize this. You have to see this as something God did, not just corporately, but something that is an individual benefit. But it's not an automatic thing. And so many people think that because the promises are in the Scriptures that they're supposed to be automatic. Well, God said it, so God's responsible for bringing it to pass. Well, you have to cooperate with God. You understand? He says he binds what we bind, he looses what we loose. So if you just put up with stuff, God will put up with it. But if you refuse to put up with it and you set your foot down and you take the authority that God's given you, then God will back that authority by his power. You understand? I've seen people hold the Bible up and they say there's so many promises in here and all these promises are mine. That's not exactly true. The potential of those being yours is there. But they're not really yours until you lay hold on them. Even though the Israelites went into this land, the enemy was still occupying the land. So the territory that had been allotted to certain tribes, they were not enjoying that territory. There was something they had to do, and that's get the enemy out of what God has given you. And this is something that we have to learn. We have to get the enemy out. Now, obviously this is not geographical territory when it comes to the born-again believer. It's dealing with flesh versus spirit. It's dealing with strongholds in our life, areas that where Satan has dominated our lives. And the Lord has given us these promises, but we're to walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit is to take the dominant place in our lives. And when He does, God's kingdom starts taking over this kingdom and this kingdom and this kingdom. Anything that dominates a person is a kingdom. And that just simply means that has control of that person. And there's many things that control people's lives. They dare wouldn't call it a kingdom. But if you're somewhat obsessed with it, if you have to have it, it can be any kind of addiction. Some people are addicted to TV, some addicted to movies, some addicted to food, some addicted to narcotics, whatever. Any of it is controlling you. We can talk about the gross things, but we don't want to talk about the things that have control of our lives as Christians. And they're kingdoms that rule us. And I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest gods in the United States of America is sports and recreation. And people worship it and they don't even know they worship it, but it dominates their life. That's what they're obsessed with. And these things have to be driven out, and the way they're driven out is by getting knowledge of the Word of God. And the more knowledge you get of the Word and the more you subject yourself to the Word, the less control they have of you to where they leave you. You've heard me say in times past, hell, I was obsessed with racing. I mean, that was my life. That's what I thought. You know, that's what I was striving for, all those things. You know, had all these aspirations of what my life was going to be, you know. But when I really yielded myself to the Lord, God never told me to quit the racing stuff. But the more interested I got in God, the less interested I became in racing. And to the point that it lost its grip on me, it's lost its control over me, you understand? To where that was a kingdom that was ruling me, but I would have declared to you that it was not ruling me, yet it was controlling me. You understand? I would tell you I was having fun. That's what I wanted to do. There we go. That's what flesh wanted to do. So flesh was in control. And when the flesh is in control, the Spirit of God's not, and that gives place to the enemy. The enemy always works through the flesh. He will entice you through the flesh. Everything comes through this carnality, what I want, where I want to go. You understand? And so these kingdoms have to be dealt with. And the way we deal with it is not, well, how many kingdoms do I have in my life? As you start reading and studying the Word of God, and as you read and study the Word of God, you'll start seeing things about you that you had not seen before. And then you don't like what you're seeing, and so then you have a decision to make. Am I going to do something about this, or will I ignore the Word of God? Will I leave that to stay with this, or will I get deeper in that and lose interest in these things? This is how you take the territory. Now, if you notice this, as we went through Joshua, it was a city at a time. They didn't go in and overwhelm the land. I used to think when a person was born again, especially if they got filled with the Spirit, they'd arrived. That's it. This is smooth sailing. Nothing can be farther from the truth. And now you're in a position to take over kingdoms. You understand? But there's something you have to do. You have to be willing. The first generation wasn't willing to go into the land God promised them. You understand? The second generation went in, but they weren't willing to complete the job. You'll find this as we go along, especially when we get into Judges. You'll find that they didn't do what God told them to do. They went in and they enjoyed some things, but they didn't take all the territory. They were content to cohabit. And the problem we have in the church world today is people want to cohabit with the flesh. In other words, I want the Spirit, I want the flesh, so I want to hold on to both. I'll give God a certain amount of time, but I'm going to reserve a certain amount of time for myself. Well, the time you're reserving for yourself is the kingdom that is ruling you. You have not driven that enemy out. You with me? It's not that God is trying to deprive you of anything. I used to think, well, God doesn't want me to have fun. No, He wants you to know what true fun is. And if it's really a beneficial fun, it's not going to be detrimental to your eternal life or your eternal welfare. You understand? And so we're responsible for getting the enemy out. Now, you're the leader of your body. The man is to be the leader of his house. So he's responsible for the activity that goes on in his house. And so he's to keep the door closed to the devil and keep the door open to the Lord. But as individuals, we have to keep the door closed to the devil and open to the Lord. You are the overseer of your soul. You choose what you think. People say, well, I can't help what I think. Yes, you can. Watch what you subject yourself to. Because what you start giving attention to is going to start occupying your mind. And the thing occupying your mind is ultimately going to end up controlling you. So subject yourself to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and your mind will be occupied with the things of God, and then the kingdom of God will be established in your heart. Does all that make sense to you? Good. All right, you can go ahead now.
Okay. No, I think that's what's so important to the message that I'm pulling from this is how needful it is. It's absolutely essential that I cooperate with God. We read about, we talk about God parting the Red Sea, but Israel had to walk through. He promised this territory, but they had to conquer. Why didn't the first generation take the land? It was given to them. They didn't have the faith. They didn't believe. You know, you see today, we see people's faith not by what they say, but you see my faith by what I do. do I act on the Word of God? Yeah, as we were reading this 24th chapter some time ago, I had gone through and I just underlined all the verbs with God here, starting with verse 3. I took. I gave. I gave. I sent. I brought. I brought. I brought. I gave. I destroyed. I delivered. I delivered. I sent. I've given you. But every one of those, even though God did it, the Israelites had to cooperate with what God had already done for them. The same is true for us today. Following Jesus Christ with all your heart is not a passive act. I can tell you that for sure. It requires dedication. It requires work. It requires attentiveness. It requires a willingness to get past your own self and lay down what you want to do what He would have you to do.
It begins with desire.
Yes.
When the desire is strong enough, the discipline will be there to get you to the goal that you desire, okay? I remember back many years ago, I was watching a particular boxer, world championship. Now, in his younger days, very disciplined. Very disciplined. Physical training, diet, and all that. But as he got older, he got more attention on what he wanted to do, what he wanted to eat, and didn't want to do the training, you know, didn't want to press through some things. And consequently, he lost his championship, you understand, as a result. But then I saw him come back, and then went into strict training, strict diet, and he had a desire to get that back, and he got that back. And there's a principle in all this. When your desire gets strong enough for God, you'll be disciplined enough to do the things that will get you to what God has promised you. But if your desire is not strong, you won't be disciplined enough to take the land. First generation, they did not have enough desire to go in to get the land. Their desire was not strong enough for them to be willing to go against the giants in fortified cities. Second generation, their desire was strong enough to go against the same fortified cities, to go against the same giants, and what happened? They took the land. But they didn't have enough desire to take all the territory. So consequently, they all thought, it's easier to cohabit with the enemy. And so that's where the problems they're having today is because they chose to cohabit with the enemy. You understand? And he told them, you do that, and there are going to be thorns in your eyes and thorns in your sides or scourges in your side, and they're still seeing the result of that today. Well, here again, that's a spiritual principle. That flesh will always be a hindrance to you if you don't take authority over it and drive out those things. It'll hold you back. You understand? So we have to ask ourselves just how passionate am I for the Lord. People say, well, I wish God would use me like He uses so-and-so. Well, do you really want God to use you? Then start spending time with God. Just start spending time with God and don't tell God what to do. Just be like Isaiah. Here am I. Send me. God, who can I send? You can send me. But for God to send you, you need to be trustworthy. He doesn't need to send somebody out there that's not committed. You understand? God's not looking for wimpy people to be in His military. He wants people that have a determination. People who don't give up when the going gets tough, but people who will put their shoulder into it and press through it until they reach that goal that they say they want. You don't give up. You keep pressing. You understand? But that's going to be dependent upon how passionate you are for the Lord. I say I love the Lord. How much do I love the Lord? Do I love me more than I love the Lord? Now, Heather and I were talking today, and I told her, I said, this is one of the biggest problems. People love themselves more than they love the Lord. It's not that they're bad people. It's just that they'd rather stroke the flesh than to deprive the flesh so the spirit can grow. Okay? Go ahead.
We know inside ourselves if we ought to be praying, if we ought to be reading, if we shouldn't be watching something on TV, if we're in a place that we shouldn't be, if it's not good for us, you get a check on the inside. Whether you choose to heed that and obey it or not, that's where we talk about carnality versus spirit. Who's got your attention?
Happened to me last night. I mean, I was sitting there with YouTube. I thought I'd look at this. And I usually listen to the Bible, you know, during the night. I thought, well, I'll look at this. And I got convicted. I said, nope, I can't stay here. So I pulled that Bible up and I started listening to that Bible. And I told Heather, I said, you know, it's like an atmosphere change. Once I started looking and listening to the Bible and getting locked in, it's just like a peace just settles in. It's like the atmosphere actually changed from one of getting your own edge to total. And I wasn't watching anything bad, but it wasn't conducive to my spiritual growth. You understand? That's what you have to look at. It's not that this is morally bad or illegal, but is it a hindrance to my growth, my spiritual growth? That's what I have to evaluate. Okay.
And we govern ourselves on that. You're the only one that can make that choice. Pete told you about an experience last night. I had an experience this morning. And I told myself, no, you will. This is what you will do. And, I mean, I don't know. I talk to myself that way. Sometimes I need to jerk the slack out of my own self. And we make a choice. In our heart, we make a choice. It's important.
Yes, she asked me, do you ever talk to yourself in your head? I said, yeah, I talk to myself out loud. I did last night. That's what I thought. And I did. I mean, I did. Now, you know better than that. So now do that like it should be done. You understand? You have to pull the reins on you.
Yeah.
No, you don't look for someone else to do it. And don't look to see if somebody's watching. You're supposed to do it right, whether anybody sees it or they don't see it. Just do it like it should be done. Okay? Yeah, sometimes you have to just grab yourself and shirt collar yourself, you know, get the slack jerked out of you.
Yeah.
Do it yourself. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll do that, you'll find it'll make a difference in your spiritual walk. You'll find it'll make a difference in your hearing from God. When you're diligent to try to keep yourself in agreement with God.
Verse 14.
Okay.
Joshua 24:14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
Now, I alluded to this earlier, but I want you to look at this. here's a people that have chosen to go into this promised land. They have chosen to go against the enemy and take territory. But notice they still have gods. Now the covenant that God made with Abraham, and this was to be followed through all generations, was God was to be their exclusive God. But here they have these other gods. They have these other idols. And Joshua knows it, and these are leaders. We're not talking about just a regular person. These are the leaders, he says. You need to put away these other gods you're still holding on to. And this is why you see people in the religious setting, they're in the church setting, but they go so far and they plateau, they don't go farther because they're not willing to release some of the gods of their forefathers through tradition and whatever. I'm not talking about idols. But yet it's something that becomes an idol to you. I've got to do this, you know. I've got to do that. Mama did it, Grandma did it, and I have to do it. No, you have to let those things go or they will control your life. Turn it loose and let God be the exclusive God of your life. If no one else agrees with you, that doesn't matter. You stay in agreement with God. Now, it's amazing that he has to tell these people, put away your gods.
We think about gods here as idol worship and whatnot, but today, sports can be a god to somebody. Money can be a god. Drugs can be a god. Your own children can be your god.
I can give you all education.
Oh, yeah.
You understand? Vocation, economics. I mean, you can go all the way down the list of things that captivate you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you talk about. You listen to a person talk, and they'll locate themselves as to what is really getting their attention.
Yes.
You understand? You don't have to be around them long, but it'll surface. And so evaluate yourself. What is it that I talk about? This is why I have a problem entering into conversation with people because I don't have anything in common. I'm not thinking like they're thinking. I'm not wanting to get into that kind of conversation, you know, whether it's politics or sports or whatever. That's not where I'm wanting to go. So it's not that I'm not trying to be antisocial. It's not something I want to occupy in my mind. You understand? And you have to be truthful with yourself. And admit it. You know, the way you deal with the problem is first admit you have a problem. If you don't admit you have a problem, you'll never deal with that problem. But then there's more to it than just admitting you have a problem. Then you have to come up with a strategy and get it from God. How do I deal with this problem to where I overcome this thing? You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to admit you're wrong before you'll ever be right. A person that doesn't admit they're wrong, you'll never be able to teach them to do right. They've got to come to grips with truth. And what I've learned is people do not like truth. When you teach truth, you get a lot of repercussion. You understand? And people will stay away by the thousands. Now, if you want the thousands to come to you, you know, all you have to do is compromise and give them what they're looking for. But I guarantee you, you won't take them to God. You'll take them away from God. My objective is to bring you to God. So we're under obligation to give you the truth.
Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
So Joshua's putting their feet to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
This is the leaders, all right? You've heard what I've said? Now, you make a choice. Are you going to serve the gods of your forefathers way back? Are you going to serve the gods of the land you're in now? Or are you going to serve the true and living God? As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. That's a declaration. And he stayed with that declaration, okay? I know time's up. We're going to have to stop here, take a break. So we'll come back to this after the break, okay?